All right, come on, welcome to the fourth week in our You Asked For It series. We have been having such an awesome time and with this series, and I just want to say it's good to be back home with you. And we were out ministering last week in another church, Ark Church, actually there in Ohio, and it's one of the churches that we have the opportunity to oversee with Pastor Kyle Brownlee and his wife Justina, and Experience Church, right in Defiance and doing amazing things for God. We saw 25 decisions for Jesus there last weekend. Yeah, it was amazing. So to God be the glory. So they're in three services over there, and so we were in three services at one time, and we're probably not too far away from three at the pace of our growth right now, which is awesome. And so we just thank God for what he's doing. But by the way, we had some women that went to a women's conference down in Indianapolis. Our students had their retreat all in the same weekend. And some of them are here in this service. Some will be here in second service. But I just want to say, I'm just so thankful. I've just heard so many incredible reports from the women's conference, from our students, and their retreat this past weekend. I mean, they just have all had a powerful time in the presence of the Lord. And I think that's awesome. Amen, everybody. And so we just thank God for what he's doing. And I think it's good that we need to go and do things like that together. And so for those that missed it, man, the next time it comes around, you need to make sure you're there. And I'm just really, really proud, really, really proud of everyone, all of our leaders that made it happen. And so we love you guys and are thankful, but so glad that you had a wonderful time. I want you to go ahead and grab your message notes that are in your worship guide today, and I want to get into our message because this is the number one most asked for message. If you don't know, if you're here for the first time, back at Easter time, we did basically a survey asking people what they wanted to hear as far as topics and messages, and we've tried to do our best to compile the best that we can, and within 6 weeks, and we only have 2 weeks left in this series, minister those messages and hopefully help answer questions as well. But this week's message, I'm really excited about because it's something that I think it comes easy for this church. In the sense of we believe in God helping us to understand what our purpose is and what our design. And so the message today is on purpose, is specifically, what is my purpose? How do I get my purpose in my life activated? Everybody shout purpose. Come on, it's important that you understand what your purpose is. The Christian life will never make sense for you until you discover what your purpose is. And so I'm really excited about this message. And so a scripture in Psalm chapter 89, the psalmist is just asking basically just this question that, God, did you create us for nothing? Did you create us for nothing? Are we just, why did you create us? And I just want every one of us to know this morning that God has a unique plan for your life. God has a plan, he has a purpose, and he has a destiny. Some of us may be in the place that we don't know what that looks like right now, but I want to encourage you, you're in the right place today, because as I've been praying over this message this week, I've been praying that we capture the heart of God and we capture the understanding that God really does have a specific plan and a specific design for my life. And I'm going to really kind of preach this, I think, a little bit differently than maybe how, I guess maybe some would, but the question that I've heard a lot just throughout just my time in ministry, and I've heard people ask this, man, what on earth am I here for? How many have asked that question at one point or another? It's just like, why am I here? What in the world does God have for me to do in this journey? And I think that you have to go to the Creator to understand your purpose. You have to know him and know him personally. And I think the only way to really know something is spending that time. And it's kind of like getting a new car. If you're smart about it, you want to know the inventor. You want to know who made the car. You want to have some longevity in the car. How many know what I'm talking about? And you want one that's around for some years and not just a year. And so you got to get to know the inventor, if you know what I mean. You got to get to know your creator. And the only way that you're going to be able to know your creator and know the inventor is by spending time in his presence. You know, I don't know if you noticed the theme on the last two songs that we sang today, but it was talking about his presence. Do you realize that just a moment in his presence, just a time and an opportunity in the place of worship, can flip your world upside down for the good? And just when it's there's something about the power of worship that when you welcome his presence in your life, it has the ability to take your eyes off your problem and put your eyes on the God who can take care of your problems. Amen, everybody? And so that worship has the ability just to make things smaller and make God a lot bigger. And so prayer is vital. If you're going to know your purpose, you got to know your Savior, your Lord. And then secondly is this, is if you're getting a new car, a good thing is, and I don't always do this with my car, but I definitely do when it comes to the Word of God, but you got to read the owner's manual. It's good to read the owner's manual, and sometimes it's easy just to kind of skip over that. But I'm telling you, a changed life comes by reading his word. A changed life and understanding purpose and direction, it comes by understanding what the word of God says for your life. And so we need to have an understanding that if we're going to understand purpose, it's going to be by understanding who our God is and spending quality time with him. But it's also going to come by opening up his word and letting his word change us. And when you receive and you welcome and you invite his presence in your life, you'll be amazed what begins to take place. Proverbs 19, I'm going to give you some scriptures here. Not all of them are in your notes. I just didn't have the room today, but so you can reference them or mark them on the side of your notes. But Proverbs 9:10 says, knowing God results in every other kind of understanding. So jot this just this very simply, first one down, is I find my purpose by knowing God. Very simply put, I find purpose in my life by knowing the Lord. I'm going to share a personal story with you in just a couple minutes and what that really looked like for me. Colossians 1:16, a couple verses I'm going to give you out of the Message Bible. It says, for everything, everybody say everything. Everything. Good, you sound good this morning. Absolutely everything above and below, visible and invisible, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. Ephesians 1:11 says, it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything. Everybody say everything again. Everything. In everyone. And in Acts 10, I love how this verse says it this way out of the Message. Verse 35, it says, it makes no difference who you are or where you're from. Thank you, Lord. If you want God and are ready to do as he says, the door is open. I think God is waiting for a bunch of people who are radical enough, crazy enough to believe in the call and the purpose that he has for your life. And he's waiting on people to just walk through the door. He's waiting on our response, waiting on us to step up and say, God, here I am for real. Use me. Lord, I don't want it to just be a part of a Sunday experience, but I want to live out this life that you have for me Monday through Saturday as well. Amen, everybody? And so that's what God is saying this morning. And so as we talk on purpose today and we talk on this, I want you to know that as we're working through this, that I really believe that the Lord is going to just kind of talk to some of you today in regards to purpose and design. I came across a very cool article that the Associated Press wrote some time ago. And I want to just kind of read this to you this morning because I just think it's very, very fitting. But it says, a few years ago, Adelina Dominguez died in San Diego. Now, what made her death noteworthy is that according to the Guinness Book of Records, she was the oldest living American at the age of 114. Woo, Lord Jesus, 114. She outlived all her children and some of her grandchildren. And when she was asked, listen to this, the secret of longevity. How many want to be this in this for the long haul, right? How many want to be this, come on, for longevity? There we go, all right. I was hoping more than five hands would raise at me. All right, that's good. But when she was asked the secret of her longevity, the Associated Press reports she gave all the credit to God and to his plan and to his purpose for her life. Quote, she said, I knew God had a purpose for my life. There's a secret right there to longevity, and that's understanding God's call and God's plan and his purpose. It's amazing that when you discover purpose, you find a reason to live. It's all of a sudden that you may have circumstances and things in life swirling around you, but when you have found your why, when you have found your purpose for living, it's amazing how all that clutter and all that other circumstantial stuff just doesn't outweigh the call of God and what he's doing in your life. That you have a focus because you're in his presence, you're in his word, you're reading and praying and talking to God, and it's amazing how God can just have the ability sometimes to shrink some of those things so that we stay focused. Doesn't mean that we have a life without problems, because Scripture says we're going to have trouble in this life. But when we do, that God is faithful and just to see us through whatever it is and whatever season that we find ourselves in. So we are planned. Everybody say this when they say, we are planned. Come on, we are planned for God's purpose. God made you to love you, and he made us to worship him, to have a relationship. And a relationship with God, and I just want to make this clear as we get in this message today, you'll never discover purpose without knowing God. You'll never be able to figure this out. But your destiny is tied to God, and your destiny is always tied to people. I've never met a successful man or woman at all, whether in ministry or in business, that has been able to do anything that they've done by themselves. You always need people. You always need relationships in your life. And it's really, it comes with how God has created us to be. He has created us to be relational people. He's created us for a spiritual family. And guess what? Your spiritual family is going to outlast your earthly family. And so it's having an eternal perspective and understanding and knowing that so much of God's purposes are tied to relationships. Acts 2:42 says they continued steadily learning the teaching of the apostles and joined in the fellowship. They came in the fellowship. The fellowship is simply just in agreement. They came in with agreement with what was happening. You can jot this down, that my purpose is to fellowship with God and with people. My purpose is to fellowship with God and people. 1 John 4:21 says the person who loves God must also love other believers. And so fellowship essentially is this for us. It's loving God's family, loving his family. You cannot do this journey. Listen, let me say it this way. You don't want to do this life and this journey alone. You don't want to try to do it without God, and you definitely don't want to try to do it without people. And I feel like the Bible makes it crystal clear how we're supposed to work within this family and our purpose as it's tied to people. Guess what? That's, you know, people in your life help to produce growth in you, sometimes for the good, but sometimes for the bad. There's always learning opportunities with people, if you know what I'm talking about this morning. And so it's good to have relationships. You need that working in your life. 1 Timothy says this in chapter 3, I'm writing so you'll know how to live in the family of God, and the family is the church. Why is it so important? Why is it important, Kyle, that, man, you guys talk an awful lot, man, about relationships, about finding a friend, doing life with people, not doing life alone, because you simply cannot do this life alone. You weren't made that way. You got to understand the God who made you to be relational. Can I tell you, heaven, when that awesome day comes for us, and when we stand before the Lord, and when we're able to go, and as we have a personal relationship with God, that day in heaven is going to forever be, eternity means forever, all about relationships. So we better get used to them here on earth. And we need to learn how to grow in relationships right here on the earth that we're living in. And so you have to have people in your life. And I think most people live very frustrated lives. And part of the reason why they're living very frustrated lives and lives that are just of disappointment is because they really are trying to work things out on their own. They're trying to just figure it out. And so they're going through tough seasons and they're doing it alone. I don't think anybody ought to go through tough seasons alone. I don't think anybody ought to sit at a hospital bed by themselves. I don't think that anybody ought to be grieving at a funeral by themselves. I don't think, it doesn't matter, good or bad. I don't think people need to be doing things by themselves. I'm thankful in my hardest seasons of life that there were relationships and people that believed in me when I didn't even believe in me. You need people in your life that love you that way, love you unconditionally, gonna push you towards God. Listen, it's all about discovering purpose. If you're gonna discover purpose, you have to understand that the relationships are going to be a key. You know, I think about this morning, my own personal journey, and I get teased and made fun of from time to time because, in a good way, people say, well, you found out your purpose at a young age as a boy. And so, you know, so that was good for you, but what about for me? And, you know, and I'm thankful that God spoke to me at an early age at 9. You know, that one day we'd come and plant a church in Fort Wayne and make a life commitment to this city. But that's not making me special, making me different. God visited me at an early age, which is why we have our kids' ministry. Do you realize Bethany and I and our team that we're praying over our kids weekly, believing for God encounters? What if our children discovered God's purpose at an early age? Come on, somebody. I mean, what if they figured out at an early age, man, what they want to do with their life, and all of a sudden they just come home after a Sunday and say, hey, Daddy, I'm going to be the next president of the United States. You better believe in them. I want to be a pastor. I want to be a youth pastor. I want to own a business one day, and thank God for that. And that's the way that I pray over your kids, just so you know, that they would have a true understanding of their God and their purpose and convictions at an early age. That's what we're praying for our students, that they continue to grow as a generation with the call of God on their life, to understand the convictions, to stand for truth, and not just go by the wayside to everything else that's happening. But God has specifically chosen them to be a voice in their generation, to not back down, but to stand up for truth and to stand up for righteousness. Come on, we need to give Jesus a better hand than that, because that's what we're believing for. God encounters at an early age. What if? What if? What if? And so, in my journey, I thank God for his presence in my life, because I wouldn't be here without him. But I thank God for my pastors that have been in my life and some of the churches that I've been. I thank God for when I was a young boy, for my pastor starting out, Jim Bradley. I thank God for when I grew up as a teenager, for Les Bowling and Matt Rice in my life. I thank God for a Dave Summerall and a Rob Yannock and an Aaron Jane in my life to speak to me, to be an example to me, to understand who God is at an early age. I thank God for that. And no matter what age you are, it's never too late. It's never too late to become what you might have been. And we need to allow God to speak to our life today. Amen, everybody? So I want to talk to you, because if we're going to talk purpose, you need to understand relationships. And so I want to help you understand really what the fellowship looks like. And maybe you've heard that word. It's kind of a Christianese word, and I almost didn't put it in here, but I felt like we needed to understand what it is. But jot this first one down. Level one is simply this. It's membership, and it's just choosing to belong. I think a lot of people journey in life, but they really don't have a place to belong, and so they really are just an orphan. And so we need a home. Scripture talks to us about that. We need a place to call home in our lives. And so for us, even at Elevate, we don't have a quote-unquote formal membership program. We have our growth track, which our growth track is designed to help people understand who they are in Christ, understand their gifts, understand their purpose. We had about 20-some people last week that just went through that, by the way. I mean, growth track, it's growing, it's awesome, it's fruitful, yeah. So people are discovering, and then throughout Growth Track, they're also discovering the vision of our church and where we're going. They're understanding what their personal relationship with Christ looks like and how to further their walk with God. And then at the end of the day, to then make a difference with their life. And so we have 20-some people today that are going to commit to helping out in different areas and to start making a difference and with whatever that looks like for their life and according to their gift. And so this is really the basic level. And God doesn't want us to be orphans. We need to find a place to call home. And we invite you to do that. If you don't have a home church, you can join in with us. We'd love to have you. But if not here, make sure you find a good Bible-believing church that's going to encourage your walk with the Lord. But we just want you to know you're welcome here. And you can discover your purpose and live that out. Ephesians says this, chapter 2, that you're members of God's very own family. And you belong in God's household with every other Christian. Bottom line is you can't play ball without a team. I mean, the Colts need a lot of help right now. I realize that. A lot of prayer. And trust me, I've been praying, you know. But you can't win without a team. You need a team. Everybody said, we need a team. Listen, God is the inventor of team. When he put you, the local church, together, he sees you as family, and he sees you working together as a team. Think about this. What if? Imagine with me this morning. Think about the difference that we can make in Fort Wayne if we work together. Think about what we could do if people find their purpose and find their place in the body of Christ. I think it'd be pretty awesome, pretty powerful in what God can do in the earth. Romans says this, chapter 12, in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. One of the things that people also do when they're joining in is getting baptized. We've got a baptism service coming up in about a month or so. We're going to have signups next week. If you haven't ever been baptized or you want to be baptized again, it's all good, baby. Just sign up and we'll give you details on it next week. But a baptism is not what saves you. It proclaims what God has already done in you. All right, and so it's I like to say it this way, it's a public profession that you're going public with your decision. Romans 1:16 talks about that we are not to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so it's going public, letting all the world know of your decision of following Jesus. Romans 6:3 says it the best. That's what baptism into the life of Jesus means, that when we are lowered into the water, it is like the burial of Jesus. When we were raised up out of the water, it's like the resurrection of Jesus. I want to encourage you, if you've not been baptized, or maybe you feel like, man, you just want to recommit your heart and your life, join in with us when we do this baptism coming up. Level two is friendship, and that is learning to share. Everybody needs a friend. Everybody needs to learn, and it may sound so elementary, how to share. You need relationships. We're not meant to do it alone. Acts 2:44 says all the believers met together. Look at this, constantly. I think you ought to underline that. It's a good one. And then shared everything with each other. So they met constantly, and then they shared their hearts. And it takes time. You know, our small groups right now, some of the reports I've been getting in this last couple of weeks have just been phenomenal. Usually it takes a few weeks for, you know, people to dive in and really know you, know the small group leader, but also just to be able to come to that place where they can share everything. And I don't know the stories, because we have just a policy in our small group that what is said in the group stays in the group. So we have confidentiality, but the things that I'm hearing, though, it's awesome. I just hear, man, people are sharing their hearts. I think it's awesome because God encourages us to share a lot of things, too. First of all, jot this first one down. He encourages us to share our experiences with one another. Proverbs 27, people learn from one another just as iron sharpens iron. Guess what? You don't have the time to make all the mistakes in the world. So why not learn from somebody else's experience? Why not? Come on, why not make your life a little bit easier and learn from somebody else that's been down the road that you're treading down, if you know what I mean? And so you share experiences with one another, good and bad, and learn from those moments, because we don't have the time. And I think the truth is sometimes we just are ignorant on certain subjects too. We just don't know what's happening, so it's good. Here's another thing is our homes. We share our homes. First Peter says, open your homes to each other. Why does God say that? Now think about that, because some of you are smiling at me right now. Why does God say share your home? Why does God talk about relationships so much? Because the truth is that you and I really can't connect super deep right here on a Sunday morning. And so it's part of the reason why we don't have midweek services. It's because we believe in the discipleship of what God is doing in our small groups, and it works. We found it works because it's part of the vision that God has given us as a church, and we're seeing people discipled and mentored through the weeks, and people experiencing forgiveness, people experiencing healing and freedom in their life. It's because God doesn't want us to do this alone. So he said, I want you to share your homes. I want you to be able to meet constantly. So we're pretty intentional about this as a church. And I think it's awesome, because especially when you have what I would call the fortress of solitude syndrome. Here's what I mean. I mean this. It's amazing. We moved into a neighborhood back in June, and it's amazing. You know, they have these things called automatic garage doors. You know what I'm talking about? And man, people in my neighborhood, they come home. Man, I mean, I might get a quick wave, you know what I'm saying? And then open up the garage door, pull right in the garage door, make sure they don't have to talk to me or anybody else, close the garage door. And the same process starts the next morning. They get up for work, they open the garage door, and then they're leaving for work. And I might get a quick wave. And I sometimes try to be intentional, work a little extra in my yard, if you know what I'm talking about, just trying to be loving. But I maybe it's me. I don't know. But we just have this culture of just solitude that I think just traps people sometimes within their own home, and they become a prison to it sometimes. And so it's just amazing of the culture that we're in. And so I think sometimes people get nervous about going to a small group or doing these things. And then I think the shock in all reality is when they get there, they realize, man, there's real people like me that got real issues going on, trying to figure this thing out, who are connecting with a real God, though. And so the moment of that shock and awe begins to happen, and I think it's powerful. And here's the other thing that we can obviously share is our problems. Galatians 6:2 says, share each other's troubles and problems. Hebrews 10 says this, let us not give up the habit of meeting together. Instead, let us encourage one another. So if you haven't joined a small group yet, I just encourage you, try it out. There's directories. You can either stop by the hub on the way out, or you can jump online and check out the different groups, shop the groups. But don't give up. Don't quit. I'm telling you, this works, and it's part of God's plan. And don't quit on what God is trying to do, but stay active and pursue that. And I'll just say this, the greatest thing that can come out of any semester for us, and we have all kinds of different small groups that's in action, but let me tell you our greatest prayer. This is, and I'm totally serious. Our greatest prayer is that when people come out of a small group at the end of this fall semester, is that you leave with one friend, at least a friend, someone that you can do life with, somebody that you can share things with, because we all need that. I love my wife. She's everything to me. But I have some friends that I go to. You heard one of them a couple weeks ago. God, I just can tell it all to. I can just let my hair down, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? And just talk. Come on, have some coffee, you know, eat a steak together, whatever, you know, and just let's just talk. And you need people like that in your life. You need people that you can be honest with. If you're going to discover purpose, and you're going to really be in this for the long haul. That's what I'm talking about, everybody, because this is setting you up for longevity. I'm not talking and preaching on sprint running this morning. I'm talking about the marathon that God has called all of us to. And so we've got to prep, and we've got to learn, and we've got to grow with God. Level three is this. It's partnership. It means I'm going to do my part. Doing my part. It's a contribution that all of us can make and being part of the team. And it's even why we do multiple services on Sundays. You know, it's just not the hip thing to do. We do it because we're trying to create more opportunities for your friends and family to hear about Jesus. We're trying to make room. The truth is also that if we tried to pack one and two services together, it just wouldn't happen. We're too big for that. But as we're growing and we're constantly looking at that, we want to make sure there's chairs that are ready and available for you and your friends and your family. So everybody say this, say we're making room. So we're making room, and that's what that's about. And so doing our part, and you know, we pray every Sunday with our dream team before we start the day. And one of the things that was just on my heart, I was driving here this morning to church, and I was just thinking, this one thought was just all I could think about. I came in and I told the dream team, think about this. For some, you know, your weeks get crazy. And so people that are serving on our dream team are people that have discovered their gift and they're serving in the area of their gift. They're not serving them where Pastor Kyle or anybody told them to serve. They're serving because they went through Growth Track and discovered, man, this is my purpose. Like, this is my gift. I'm supposed to teach our kids. I'm supposed to be out at the parking lot and serving people. You know, they're finding their gifts and their niches. And because every one of you are a 10 at something, it's just true. And so the thought that I had, though, was how often through the week do we actually really get to make an eternal impact? And we get that opportunity every Sunday. So for some people, because your schedules can be busy and crazy sometimes, our dream teamers love what they do because they love coming in here serving you and knowing they're making an eternal impact every week that they're coming to serve. They know people are making decisions to follow Jesus. Think about that, everybody, doing our part. And I believe life is more fulfilling when you figure out your purpose, and life is more fulfilling when you're making a difference in the life of someone else. 1 Corinthians 3:9 just very simply puts this, that we are partners together, working together for God. We're on a winning team. Ephesians 4:16 says the whole body is fitted together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy. Amen. And growing and full of love. One of my favorite stories comes from that I like to tell. And it's been a long time since I've told this, so some of you, it's going to be your first time to hear this. We are in just partnership ministry relationship with Pastor Matthew Barnett and the Los Angeles Dream Center, and incredible ministry, incredible church going on. And they're seeing just, man, people won for Jesus at a rapid rate, but people coming off drugs and addictions and prostitution and all these things, and helping homeless, helping single families. And I remember a story that Pastor Matthew told, and it's forever ingrained in my brain because it's powerful, but it's a woman who found her purpose. This young woman started attending and got led to the Lord by one of the team members at the LA Dream Center, gave her heart to Jesus. She was a prostitute, prostituted for many years of her life, gave her heart to the Lord, and so started serving in the Dream Center, started understanding her relationship with Jesus more, started understanding life skills. That's the other part of the Dream Center, is teaching people life skills so they can be successful in the job and the marketplace. And so she discovered all those things, and she was serving. And one of the things that she said, I always used to hear Pastor Matthew make this statement, that sometimes when you don't understand your purpose or you don't know your cause, is you got to get involved in somebody else's cause and somebody else's purpose, and then you'll find yours. So she said, I took that to heart. So she said, I just began to serve on Sundays and serve through the week and the outreaches that we did, and just came together. When one day I was in a Sunday morning service, and the Spirit of the Lord just spoke to me and said, you're to start a hemp ministry. She said, and she's kind of like, all right, that's me, that's my ministry. She said after the service was over, she went right up to Pastor Matthew and said, Pastor Matthew, you'll never believe it. God has called me to start a hemp ministry right here in Los Angeles, California. He said, do what? She said, yes, sir, a hemp ministry right here in Los Angeles, California. He said, wow. He said, You're going to do it? She said, well, yeah, I'm going to start this week. He said, okay, you know, so I'll be praying for you, you know. So she went back down to the very corner that she used to prostitute for years, where the pimps were at, where the other girls were at, and she consistently went down there and ministered to women, ministered to the pimps. So much so that the pimps got so upset because of her consistency and always showing up. They told her one day, they said, we've had enough. You're ruining our business. So something's got to change. She said this, if you'll agree to let me talk to you for 5 minutes without any distractions, I'll leave. Just give me 5 minutes every time I'm down here. I promise you, I'll leave. They said, you'll leave. You promise. They said, yes, I'll leave. So for 5 minutes, several days a week, she'd go down to that corner and she would witness, and she would encourage the pimps and encourage the girls. So one day the pimps looked at her and said, we can't believe that you actually have stayed down here and consistently been here to minister to us. They didn't use the word minister, but they said, you know, we just can't blankety blank believe it. You know what I'm saying? And so I said, we're so moved though that we want to invite you to one of our functions. She said, oh, yeah? I said, we have a pimp convention coming up, and we'd love for you to come and be a part of it. She said, I'm there. I'm coming. When is it? So got the info, and she called Pastor Matthew. She said, Pastor Matthew, you'll never believe it. She said, I've been invited to the pimp convention. She said, it's a whole red carpet event. She said, all the pimps in the nation will be there. Ones like Dennis Rodman have won major awards at this thing. You know, so I'm going to be there, and I'm going to win all those pimps to Jesus. He said, okay. He said, well, I will not go with you, but he will go with you. Be blessed. I'll be praying. So she went, pulls up in a stretch limo with the pimps, walks down a red carpet. There's cameras and everything. And she came with some tracks too, by the way, of $100 bills that talk about the love of Jesus, although they weren't really $100 bills. Yeah, you ever got one of those at the gas station? Don't do that, all right? Just like, take it, you know, hope somebody reads it. And so anyway, she's like throwing them, you know, and they're thinking it's money, and they're reading, and they're, who is this woman? And she stayed the entire event, and they couldn't believe it. And they just said, man, we can't believe that you stayed this. They said, all right. They said, we're going to agree to go to one event with you. She said, I want you in church with me tomorrow morning at church. Will you go with me? They said, we'll go. So she called Pastor Matthew again. The Pastor Matthew, you never believe it. The pimps are coming to church tomorrow. The pimps are coming to church. Like, have a good message ready. And so he said, I'll never forget it. He said, I was ministering. He said, it was a couple minutes after I started ministering. He said, I saw eight of the pimps. He said they had the fur coats, the feathered hats, the canes, and just, you know, kind of swag and all, and just walking in and sat down in the balcony. after the message, they just had a traditional altar call and gave people an opportunity to receive Jesus and invited them to come down for prayer that morning. And he said, it took them a little while. He says, swag and all, but he said, all eight of the pimps came down to receive Jesus that day. Because one woman made a decision that I'm going to discover my purpose, make a difference, and go all out for Jesus and never turn back. What if you discovered your purpose? Imagine what you can do with your life. Don't let anybody ever tell you that you can't when God is constantly telling you that you can. I'm telling you, if God be for you, who can stand against you? Understand God's plan and his purpose will always outlast anything. Or it's his purpose is timeless because we're reaching people for eternity's sake. And so I'm hoping today that you get convinced of two things, and that's that we will do better with you, but you will do better with us. That being on a team and doing life together is where we're going to experience life change, but it's where we're going to discover and work out our purpose for the glory of God. Level four is this, the deepest level of community right here, of fellowship. It's connecting like family. Acts 2:42 says they were like family to each other. Getting connected to a family is critical. It's important. It's healthy. You need it. I need it. We need it. I love this statement that came from Dr. Ed Hallowell. I think it's so powerful. I want to read this to you, just a small excerpt here on connecting. He said this, that we are a nation of doers. We hurry from place to place, filling our lives with all kinds of activities, sometimes overscheduling our kids. Amen. Glory to God. Somebody grab me a mic, please. There we go. Just in case. I'm not sure what. Amen. You never know what'll happen. All right. Breaker 1-9. Is anybody there? Am I good now? Am I good? Okay, I'll keep it up here just in case. But it said, we're a nation of doers. We hurry from place to place, filling all our lives with all kinds of activities, sometimes overscheduling our kids and ourselves. But what really sustains us emotionally, psychologically, and physically is connectedness. The feeling that we are a part of something that matters, something larger than ourselves that gives life meaning. Just as there is a vitamin deficiency, there is a human contact deficiency, and it weakens the body, the mind, and the spirit. Its ravages can be severe: depression, physical illness, early death. Or they can be mild: underachievement, fatigue, and loneliness. Just as we need vitamin C each day, we also need a dose of human contact every day with other people. I read a stat that said the average human needs 10 to 15 contacts a day, physical contact, just to be healthy. That can be a hug, it can be a handshake, a fist bump, pat on the back. Think about that. And I'm so thankful for this church and its relationships, because we have some people in this church that have told me Sundays are their favorite time of the week because this is their only family that they have. It's the only place they can come and get a physical touch from somebody, a hug, a handshake, a fist bump, a pat on the back. And I've had a few of them tell me, Pastor Kyle, I don't know what I would do without this church being in my life and the people this church has. And I echo that. And I'm so thankful. That's why we need people. It's why we need, as we're going to do our purpose together. Romans says this, 12:10. I'm going to move through a couple of scriptures quickly. It says, be devoted to each other like a loving family. Be committed to one another, helping one another. 1 John 3:16 says, we know what real love is because Christ gave up his life for us. And so we also ought to give up our lives for our Christian brothers and sisters. That's what life is all about. Purpose is loving God and loving people. That's purpose. John 13 says your strong love, I like that, not weak, not insincere, but strong. Everybody say strong. Your strong love, and I believe it's a love that, man, I'll do whatever it takes to help you, much like Jesus unconditionally loves you and me, will prove to the world that you are my disciples. How? By your love, your strong love for people. May we represent and exemplify the massive awesomeness of the passion and the strong love of Jesus Christ everywhere that we go, church. Can you say a good amen? Amen. May we be that. May we live it. And so our dream as a church, that when Fort Wayne looks at our church and looking at our size or how good our music is or how bad the pastor preaches or doesn't preach or our services, but that when they're looking at our church, that they see a church of relationships. One of the greatest compliments we could ever get is, man, this is a church that you can get connected. It's a church that you can do life with people and relationships. And so I invite you today, if you already haven't, to join in the family of God, to join in with us, find a small group, get connected in our growth track, and do life together. And let's make a difference together for the glory of Almighty God. Will you bow your heads where you're at? God, I thank you today for messages like this that, Lord, are part of your design to see us take a next step in our relationship with you and discovering purpose. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that we would heed what you're telling us. Father, that we would listen, God, to your direction and follow your plan and your purpose and your design for our life. Great things you have ahead for everyone. I do believe our best days are ahead of us. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you this opportunity right now because I want to help you live out purpose. You can't live in purpose if you don't know your Creator, your Lord, your friend, Jesus. And today, if you're saying, man, Kyle, that's me. I need to give my life to Christ. I need to respond. That's where I need to begin today. And I need to go all in, 100%, give everything I have today. Come on, all over this room, I believe there's some people that need to respond to Jesus. If that's you, I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come down to the front. We're not going to embarrass anybody. I just want you just unashamedly slip up your hand right now. Come on, all over this place. If you say, Kyle, that's me. I'm proud of you. Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you. See you guys. Awesome in the back. Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. Awesome. Come on, and we're going to just pray this together. Come on, church, I want you to pray with me. Say, Jesus, you are the Lord of my life. Say it again. Jesus, you are the Lord of my life. I welcome you into my heart today. I welcome purpose into my life today. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for never quitting on me. Jesus, thank you for saving my life. Thank you for freedom. And thank you for a fresh start. I declare you are Lord of my life. Lord of everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's put our hands together this morning.